Is it for real? We used to love it, then we watched it, and now we don't know if we like it. Is it for real?
You are listening to Is It For Real? And I don't know if everyone had subtitles on when we said that, but it's spelled R-E-E-L.
Yep.
Yeah. Which also, no need to check your dials, this is formerly known as the artist called Doesn't Hold Up.
Formerly known as
Real World Westeros.
Yes, yes. We've had a lot of issues with our recording company. We've had to change our name. No, but we're working to see if this is better. So I think, Bridget, you were starting an internet poll.
That's right. That's right, Philip. Yeah, I started an internet poll. So if you want to go to isitforreal.uk, don't go there. That's not where it is. But anyway, let us know if you like this podcast and like and subscribe.
Yes.
We're working on some promotion. We want to get the word out.
You know, we'll have like a trip to Fiji. It might get canceled because of the lockdowns in all the states.
Right, but it will be unrefundable if that's the case.
Yeah.
I bought a ticket to Fiji for $5 each way.
Was that $5?
$5 each way.
Nice. That's... I keep on getting emails about how amazing it would be to go on a cruise right now, which seems illegal. It seems like an illegal email listserv I'm on. It's so weird.
Did they say, like, it will change your life?
Yeah, yeah, and the life of many you care about. Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Oh, I forgot, as we were sort of talking about our new name, we may want to introduce ourselves. I am Philip.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And the movie that you are sitting yourself down to listen to us talk about is Don't Tell Mom
the Babysitter's Dead.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
1991 film.
Yeah.
Starring everybody's favorite lady crush of the time, Christina Applegate.
Yeah. Can I start with like a fun fact that
please.
The movie originally was going to be called The Real World, funnily enough, for Real World Westeros fans. But they changed it because MTV's The Real World was coming out like shortly after. So they had to change the name, which the name of the movie is arguably like one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
I think the only reason I remember it is because of the name.
Yeah, totally.
And like, she's just so not in the real world, which we'll talk about.
I know. Right. I guess the premise, right. I guess the idea for that title would be, oh, you thought you were going to have like a teenage summer and now you're like a working girl. But yeah.
You're an executive assistant to the executive.
Yeah.
Within 3 seconds. So let's talk about our ratings. I've seen this movie probably a couple of times, maybe 3 times. And I felt like I pretty much knew it, but there was a lot of things I did not remember. So I'm going to give myself a swell rating.
That's awesome. I may give myself a rose level.
Wow. Because
it, and I'm only doing it kind of in comparison to what you said, Bridget, because I've seen it many times as a kid. I think it was one of the movies that we owned. And I know that me and my partner, Annie, watched it maybe like a year ago. So it was actually quite fresh on my brain, even in rewatching it. There was nothing I didn't remember.
I will give it, first of all, I think I saw it when I was a kid. I vaguely remember seeing it, but I honestly don't remember anything from the movie. I remember things from the trailer.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like none of it rang a bell. So I'm going to give myself the level of that other kid. Because every time I turned around, there was like this other kid that like popped up. And I was like, where did you come? Who are you? Are you
Zach.
In this movie? Like,
Zach.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about the trailer because there were definitely, I know exactly what was in the trailer. And a lot of it was Kenny. A lot of it was the brother Kenny and just him being outrageous.
Also, I could have sworn that Pauly Shore was that character.
That makes like, total sense.
I would have bet like $10 and it's just close to the maximum of money that I'm willing to bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. So yeah.
No, Pauly Shore and Encino Man basically is Kenny.
Right. That's what you were thinking about, maybe.
Yeah, I think I just had it mashed up, you know. Let's jump into this.
We got some good ratings here. So it seems like Katie comes out on top. One thing I did not remember or ever know about this movie was that it had a cartoon opener.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a time and a place, just sort of late 80s, early 90s, where that was like the thing to do. Some of the other like old John Cusack movies that I'm thinking about throwing into this definitely have that as well.
Oh, interesting.
It's just,
going back to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, that's another one.
Right.
That has a cartoon opener.
That's crazy.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but kind of for different reasons.
That's true.
Yeah.
So in the cartoon opener, we sort of see the proxy of Mrs. Steerack?
Steerack, yeah, I know. It's a weird name.
And that she's not good.
Yeah.
She's not a good person.
Luckily, spoiler alert, she's not around for very long. Like,
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything from this movie, but I could have sworn she was in it for like at least a third of the movie. But no, she had like three lines, famous lines, you know, but
I do think Annie and I were talking about that. I wonder how long she would have lasted if they would have called the movie The Real World. But when you call a movie Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, you have to get rid of them pretty quick because you're just waiting until the babysitter dies. And I was also reading that there was in like the first cut, or there was kind of a cut of the movie where it was like a little bit of a murder mystery where like the kids, that's why they're setting up like Zach gets his date busted up and Melissa has to dress like a girl and Walter can't watch TV. And like each of them have this like little reason motive as to why they killed her. And then they just didn't.
I can believe that they were all psychopath enough to kill her over those small reasons. Those kids were, they were something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we get, Katie, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so we get the setup, right, which is mom is going away and no one does the chores. And they live in this, like, ridiculous boondocks house. Like, it's in L.A.? Where?
It's in L.A. Like, Baton Rouge, L.A. Like, it's definitely set in the bayou. Like, the house just makes zero sense in Southern California.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
So there's a lot of lush farmland that's right, you know, 30 minutes from downtown LA.
And the house is kind of a hole, too. Yes. It's just, like, falling apart. It's really hard to tell, like, what the financial situation of this family is.
Like, it looks like the mom has just, like, let everything go to disarray, and then they mentioned the dad, who just seems like a terrible person. Like,
oh, yeah.
What did he do?
Yeah, when they want to call them, it's like, dad won't care. Like, that you, someone died on the property and you have no child care. It's crazy.
Here's the thing. Mom barely cares. I mean,
Point in case. The first note I have is like, why can't the mom sign up Melissa for Little League? Like,
She's going to Australia.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Melissa is still in town and wants to play Little League. Like, you could have done it. Like, the whole movie, people are just left and right not signing her up for Little League. Anyway.
She's probably terrible anyways, you know. I don't know. My first note was, so the kids can just rifle through the wallets and no one seems to care. Like, the mom barely cared that kid's just, like, going through her wallet.
And that sucks. Like, stealing money? Yeah. I know. It's weird.
It's like that, once again, anytime I'm going to refer to this kid, it's going to be Surfing's the Source.
Yeah, okay, good. Yes. I'm so glad that you knew.
Every time he popped up on screen, I just shouted that out.
Bridget. Wait, this is Zach. The character of Walter? Oh, Zach. Okay.
Zach had that line, maybe two lines in the movie Point Break. So he didn't have to leave LA, but and it's probably around the same time. He looks the exact same.
Yeah. Here you go. This picture behind me is actually from Point Break.
Point Break.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't recognize the background, but I recognize the kid. Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
Surfing's the Source, change your life, swear to God, is the full.
I think the movies came out the same year.
Yeah, he was sort of punchable in that movie, and he was definitely punchable in this movie.
Yeah, he was really lonely. Boy, was he lonely. And, like, really horny for just, like, not horny, but, like, a romantic. He's, like, 10. I'm just confused.
That's what I was saying. Like, when the babysitter cuts in on his date with Cynthia, I'm like, I'm kind of on the babysitter side of this. Like, they're 10 years old in a car.
Whose car is this? Yeah. Car? I mean,
yeah, it doesn't
nothing sense. Good was going to happen of those two. Yeah.
And that girl looks even younger than he is. I think he's supposed to be 12 because Kenny is 15. I don't know.
Speaking of cars, no one in any of the cars are wearing seatbelts in this movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
And like they're all like sitting in the back, like just like up, like they're in a homecoming parade or like in the back of a truck, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about mom's flight attire. Where she, first of all, she has a briefcase, and for whatever business she's going to do, I don't know.
And the kids might as well be wearing, like, potato sacks. Like, everyone else is very, like, Mayberry poor, and the mother is dressing up to fly to Australia.
For, like, 2 months. Like, it's not just a short, it's, like, all summer long. And not only is her luggage, like, a briefcase, that's her only luggage. It's like, there's no shot of her like taking out other bags.
And
it's
later,
just that briefcase.
We know that that briefcase contains a fly fishing jacket and a hat. That's
so like, she came back in.
That's her whole plan.
There in Australia.
Yeah, she could have bought that there.
She totally came back like Australianized.
Oh, I know.
Like she left in that hot pink blazer and then came back like.
I know.
All right, so. So the babysitter comes and interrupts everybody, like you said, Katie, doing the things that they like to do.
Right.
And she goes into Kenny's room.
Which kills her?
Yeah,
I think so. That's how they like presented it is like, cause she was so thoroughly shocked by the TNA, the drug references, the Megadeth posters. Yeah. It's too much for that lady.
Right. One of our fans, Jesse, that you may have remembered from our last episode of Real World Westeros, mentioned to me that there used to be Confederate flags in that room.
There is.
Is there still one?
That was my question that I had, because it's when they're all like smoking and Walter falls off the roof. There's a Confederate flag. There's one at least. And I mean, a good question for Jesse. I thought what you were going to say is, Confederate flags used to be like an LA pothead thing, because I just was so unsure as to why that was happening.
My understanding, he said that he had seen a version maybe on TV or something where they took it out.
Maybe. It was in my
version. If you pay for it, you get all of Kenny's swearing and Confederate.
Yeah. It's super confusing. I don't know if it was like, huh?
It just goes back to your theory that they filmed the house in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And somehow she took like a, you know, Stargate tunnel to LA. That's how that worked.
Yeah, I had a note of like a Confederate flag. Like,
does anyone else in the movie other than her interact with LA at all?
Well, they go to the beach. Interesting.
There's a beach in Louisiana, so.
Well, true. But I mean, even she is the only one that goes to the beach. Like, the kids are really only at the house, at the hospital, and the corn dog, like the grocery store. Kenny goes to the grocery store. Maybe it's like in her mind.
Yeah.
The fashion district of Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
I like it.
I want to talk about Kenny's butthole jeans, or butt cheek jeans.
Oh, I noticed that in one scene, and I was like, did I imagine that, or is that real? Yeah, it blew my mind.
Wait, what is it? I didn't notice it.
He went running up the stairs when he came home. This was after Mrs. Styrak, you know, died, but nobody had found her yet. And his, like, the whole, like, butt of his jeans is, like, cut out, like, the cheek part. It's, like, a big flap.
Kenny does seem like he's probably hanging out in that Point Break drug house. It's like the same thing is happening. It's like the same kind of style. It's like this weird like LA grunge.
No, it's like he saw that and like is doing it for cosplay as well.
Yeah,
I think he like stole those jeans from like Cindy Crawford's line of like
Right.
Butt accentuating jeans from the 90s or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So soon enough, very soon into the movie. Oh, yeah.
One comment on the babysitter is that she just starts off at a which, I mean, I did some babysitting in my day, and just to just come right out of the gates at that level of just in your faceness, it's just not good babysitting technique. I'm going to say that.
I'm sure we're going to get into this in questions and stuff, but it's like the kids had no idea they were getting a babysitter. How does the mother know this babysitter? How do you just hire a Miss Doubtfire like stranger to stay for the whole summer? It does, like, because it's never explained how she knows her, right?
No,
it's
crazy.
So there's so much that's not explained.
Killer quick, so it's like almost like none of that matters. It's like, ugh. Because like then you're like, well, what did Sue Ellen think she was gonna do? Like someone had to take care of Walter. Like, what was the plan in Swell's head?
Anyway. Well, she said that when she was like with her friend. She was like, this person will take care of this person. And you know, she had like a whole plan.
You're right. She's like, Melissa will take care of Walter. I'll take care. Oh yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, that's what she thought. But Miss Styrak dies in the chair. Yeah. It's very upsetting. I liked that they covered her with a California raisin sheet.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was a nice touch to 1991.
I also kind of like that the kids, like, it's not like, thank God she's dead. Like, I kind of like the joke of Kenny being like, oh, I'm really going to miss her. So amazing. You know, like, I like that they pivot so quick to, like, be, like, missing her. I don't know. That was funny.
I know we're skipping it.
I just had a lot of things that they would not have made it long to you. Just they made so many mistakes that would have gotten them caught. It's the identifiable trunk that they leave there.
With like all their school stickers on it. Like it's right, everything. Yeah. I wrote that down too.
So also I had someone threw an F-bomb. I assume it's the out there kid.
Kenny dropped an F-bomb.
PG-13, is this?
I thought it was PG-13, and so Jeff and I were talking about, like, how many F-bombs you can have, because I think that's the only F-bomb. He said F when his pot plant dropped out the window.
I think I was reading, and I believe you can use the F-word once if it doesn't mean sex.
Right.
So it has to be, like, an expletive.
Yeah.
It can't be, like, want to get F'd.
We can only use it one time on the podcast.
Well, I just did it. I just messed it up.
You said F.
You said F.
Oh,
we're still...
Okay, good. Thank God.
Yeah.
So save it.
I definitely said it at least once last podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't say it more. We don't want to be rated R.
Oh, yeah. Yes, please. I also had that note that, like, it just really looks like murder. They really make it look like murder.
Oh, yeah. So my question is, right, we find this out later that all of the money that mom had is on her person, on Miss Styrak's person, in cash, right? So we're trying to figure out, like, okay, at the most, how much could it be? And then, like, where was she keeping it on her body?
Yeah, I think in her bra.
Okay. So I was like, at the most, I feel like it would be like $1,600, like $200 a week.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Unless they were paying her a salary too in cold hard cash.
I think it was just food money.
Time is a little weird in this too, because the mom's supposed to be gone for 2 months, but then Sue Ellen doesn't get her like 2 week paycheck. Like it seems like it's been only weeks, but then the mother comes back like a week early. But that's supposed to be 7 weeks. I don't know. I was trying to keep track of like how many weeks has it been.
And isn't there like only 2 phone calls from the mom?
That we can tell. I also had a note that those kids cannot fake it for a second to talk to the mother. Like, they're just like, oh, I gotta go. Click. Like, and then she doesn't call back.
Right. She's like, oh, well.
That mom don't care.
She
put another shrimp on the Bobby.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I mentioned again, that they mentioned dad again at this point, that he's the worst.
He is.
And they go shopping with the change they have. And I appreciated that they had the Mama Celeste pepperoni pizza in the very recognizable box of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like cooked it in the microwave on that foil thing, ? It made it crunchy in the microwave.
I was always a Totino's pizza guy.
Okay. Totino's pizza rolls?
No, I always did the proper pizza. Yeah.
Okay. Katie?
I did not do a lot of pizza, obviously. We did Papa John's had this like deal where you could, it seemed like you could get four pizzas for free the way that we ate them. And so we ate those a lot, and we would just order them and freeze them.
Oh, wow.
Four pizzas and freeze them. So really, Papa John's pizza played very heavily.
Did it unfreeze well?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
Did it hold up?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Actually, they were selling those pizzas to fuel, it was a whole, like,
yeah, right. Pizza. Yeah, totally.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so Swell, which I think is a great name.
Yeah.
Gets a job at Clown Dog, because that's her only choice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which is totally scary.
Oh, yeah, there's an element of murder just completely intertwined with that whole endeavor, yeah.
I know, I was kind of trying to think of, like, is this a franchise? Is this, like, a one-off vision that that guy, Mr. Egg, has? Like,
he's a murderer, straight up.
Yeah, he's nuts. Which part of me thought, because, you know, spoiler alert, she quits within, she didn't even spend half a day there. She spent one evening, and then Josh Charles encourages her to quit. But he, I was thinking, like, that wouldn't be the least entertaining place to work for the summer. It seems like it'd be miserable, but, like, just watching him would be nuts. Like,
is Josh Charles a noteworthy actor?
Yes. So Josh Charles is a Baltimore.
He's a noteworthy Baltimore actor.
Yeah, maybe that's probably exactly like his name.
He's decently famous.
He's in, like, The Good Wife and Sports Night, right? I think he became famous Sports Night.
And he was the super douchey guy in one of the versions of Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea that was the same guy.
And he was in, like, Dead Poets Society. He was kind of like, I don't know.
I always enjoy him whenever I see him.
Yeah. And so I don't know if you noticed, Bridget, but he was wearing a Baltimore baseball cap.
I did. I made note of that. The new old logo. Right, that was like around the time.
Yeah, like the ornithological.
Yeah, the actual bird.
I assume that was his demand instead of getting paid. It was like, can I just wear this O's cap?
That's one of the questions that Annie had actually, but she scratched it. And it submitted another question, which we can answer later. But that, did he negotiate that, or was that like a costume designer's wish? And I looked it up, and apparently he wears it in a couple of different films. Like, I think it's kind of his, like, ode to Baltimore. He's kind of like a Baltimore champion, though.
Is what,
like,
Katie?
Ode to Baltimore.
Anyways, ode to Baltimore. Anyways, ode. Now, when he introduced himself, I swore he said his name was Brad. And I wrote that down, Brad. But then that was never his name again.
Brian, right.
And he also is, you know.
Better go by Brad.
There was sort of a look in the late 80s, early 90s of sort of like, you know, I mean, Matthew Broderick is handsome, mm-hmm. but he's not dashing.
Yeah, totally. I know what you mean.
And this guy is, he's not.
He's cute. I know what you mean. He's cute. It seems like he almost shaved, like, the beginning of his eyebrows, because he's constantly, like, a cartoon. He constantly looks like he's being tortured.
His, like, hair, I mean, that's not his fault. That was the very 90s split in the middle.
It's not the hair. Yeah. It's more of this, like, really, like, sad puppy dog look that he gives for a lot of the movie.
And I think Christina Applegate is supposed to be this, like, you know, she's Christina Foxy. Applegate. Yeah. Right. And but then, like, when they have the Grunion conversation, Jeff and I were talking, like, that he's not, like, a suave guy couldn't have that goofy conversation with her.
He's pretty dorky. Like, even when they go and he picks them up and he's like, my trusty steed. I'm like, oh, even I, like, watching the movie at 9 was like, dork.
Like, he's just like this guy. You need to find an older businessman to start with. Not this corny guy.
Right. He's corny is a good word for him.
So, go ahead.
No, I was, and I forget when this is, but when they, I guess they're grocery shopping. No, they're at some, like, pizza party thing, and the drag
Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, and the drag queens steal their car.
Right. What a weird choice.
Like, this has to come back, right? Like, this is going to be, for the final scene, this is going to play it out.
I know.
And it did not. Nope.
I wrote that. I wrote, wait, drag queens are stealing the car? Like,
and then they look at each other, Liza? Like, because it's Liza Minnelli, and it's like, why were, like, three random drag queens in this parking lot?
Of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. And then they don't follow up on it at all. Yeah. And they're like, I guess we don't have a car now. Like, it's really strange.
Yeah, I feel like they needed to get them down to just one car for some reason. And they, you know, just stayed up all night trying to think of a great reason, probably doing some great 90s cocaine. And this is what they came up with.
Totally.
Yeah,
it did seem like there was another thing and they, like, left it off. Is Maya okay?
I know.
It just reminds people that a big part of this podcast is dogs.
Dog chat.
They will, whatever we're calling this thing, it will always have dogs. We promise you that.
We're in this temporary apartment right now. As our, many of our listeners know, there was a flood in my house. So because of that, we're like on a first floor and there's like people walking by all the time and they're obviously all axe murderers.
I get it.
She's just trying to defend us and tell us what's what, but
more
frequently than usual. And with lots of force. Okay, so then Swell's like, well, I gotta look for work, right? So there's the montage. There's a lot of montages.
Yeah.
And there's like the montage of looking for work, and she's like in the papers.
Do you notice in the paper that she circles McDonald's and then she crosses it out like as fast as she can? She just like had this clown dog experience.
Oh, just a quick side note, because I actually have applied for a job through the newspaper before. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell what it was. And when I showed up, it was for selling like knives door to door.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
I was like, no, I don't want to do this. I'm out.
That seems to be how they'd get you.
Yeah.
So she goes there and she basically gets the job.
Well, in the montage, we're kind of revealed her superpower, right? Because, like, it seems like, and I just am so fashion blind that I have to just, like, basically guess people's cues of, like, is that bad? Is that good? Because she's trying on all these outfits, and they're her mother's, I guess, and they don't look great. And then she's like, she, like, combines a couple of different outfits to look super great and stylish and, like, does her bang. Like, oh, okay. She's,
this
like,
whole moment where she's like,
yeah.
It's like, you can't see me, but she's very, like, they're, like, very much indicating that this is, the moment that
exactly. And so then she's, she goes to GAW, G-A-W. Oh, my God, G-A-W.
And which is the busiest place. It's the busiest workplace. Yeah. There's just...
And it's,
a uniform sales place.
Uniform sales place. Like, and then it has, like, their executive, they're, like, the L.A. branch, because New York has a branch, and, like, their factory and their... like admin is in the same building in LA. And then I just have a note that Rose just immediately shits on Carolyn. Like she can't wait to this random person. It's such a weird boundaryless world.
Oh, there are no boundaries with Rose or creepy Gus.
Well, everyone in that office other than Rose seemed to be, and I guess the factory floor guy, he seemed super
Franklin.
Nice. But everyone else was pretty awful. Actually, no. There's one other person.
Kathy.
Kathy was great.
Kathy was Kathy the cartoon, right? She's like kind of.
Well, I didn't place it till just now of where I know her from, but she was in Twin Peaks. She was the police station receptionist.
Okay. I think she had that actress. I think had a lot of like bit parts around that time, and her voice is so recognizable.
She's funny.
Always on the verge of crying.
Yeah, she always sounds stuffed up. I have a note here too, and it's maybe the first time I recognize it in the movie, that this movie is scored the entire time. Like, there's hardly any space for to not have sound. It's either like, or like a famous song. Like, they really spent a lot of money on like notable songs, but they don't let you think for yourself for 1 minute.
No, it's very scored all the way through. My favorite part of that whole hiring thing, other than the fact that it happens within a second, where Rose is like, I like you. And then she just takes her and she's like, here's your desk and here's your things and here's your computer. And
She also says, here's your mouse.
Here's your mouse. Because that's probably like such a new thing, right?
Here's your mouse. Like, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I think it is. Like, Kathy tells Sue Ellen at one point, like, I'm a whiz at computers. So if you need someone who knows computers.
She's great at everything. I mean, Kathy was, I don't know. She's doing everything.
That's what I wrote down is Kathy. It's also funny too, because in the fax machine room they meet, and upon meeting, Kathy says, wow, it must be so neat to work with Rose. I submitted my resume wasn't good enough, which is such a weird way to start an office dynamic. But then I have a note being like, Kathy would be perfect for that job. Like, all she wants to do is read QED reports and do tedious stuff. Like, it's so weird that she didn't get it. Should have hired Kathy.
The hierarchy is out of control. I mean, there's a lot of hierarchy going on, a lot of titling. Like, I wish I could just see Rose's lines broken out, because they're like, all she says is like business talk. It'd be like if she was in an improv scene and she's like, the TPS of the Q report, the budget's going down, and that, you know.
She's amazing. I have this fantasy, and it's later on in the movie, but that it's just a movie about Rose and her emotions. And oh my God. Like, at some point, I mean, maybe I'll save it. But at one point I just wrote down, Rose does cocaine. And she does a lot of it.
Yeah, she definitely does. Her and Gus together, that when they went away to
Barbara.
Catalina, yes, Santa Barbara.
That weekend in Santa Barbara was the turning point. Oh my God, Rose's voice, I could just have be my, like, GPS. Ugh,
make a right!
We should see if that actress is doing anything.
A couple things I want to point out here. This is, we find out that Rose is making, that Swell is making $37,005 a year.
Which is pretty good.
Yes, because the median income in 1991 was $20,293.
So, but clarification, is that for the U.S. or for L.A.? I mean, that's still pretty good. I'm just saying.
For the U.S.
Probably things are a little more expensive in L.A. and New York, but yeah, that is an amazing starting salary.
Yeah, but what's the median income in southern Louisiana, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's where their house is.
Yeah.
In 2019, it was $63,688. How do you guys feel about that?
Jump?
That's
I don't know if that's true. Like, that seems like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Sue-Ellen gets the job, and she makes her siblings breakfast the first day of work, Captain Crunch in a bowl.
Oh yeah, I remember that part.
And only Walter's happy.
I was confused on what she was. She just trying to make a point of, like, fend for yourselves, or because I don't get why she didn't just say fix your own cereal.
Yeah, like get a bowl.
Right,
I think it was part of the whole joke. Like, I feel like that might have actually been in the trailer as well. Like, kids left on their own. Like, it's like a... I was reading some of the reviews. Like, when it came out, people just, like, hated it. And I think there were critics that were like, thank Home Alone for the whole kids gone wild genre. So I guess it was just this, like, what if kids had to fend for themselves, which, like, definitely kids do, and it doesn't look like that.
Do you guys remember that reality show where they, like, sent kids to the Wild West and made them fend for themselves?
I'm aware of it.
No.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I gotta look it up, because that show was, like, insane. I mean, I guess
I don't remember. It sounds terrible. It sounds like Hey Dude.
Hey Dude is crazy. Tame and wonderful. Oh yeah, Kid Nation is what it was called.
I don't remember this at all. Right.
America's most disturbing reality show.
Did kids die?
No, it was in 2007 is what it was, and the kids tried to create a functioning society in a town, including setting up a government system.
Who would have thought that would have worked?
Oh my God. Jeez.
And the kids were all, like, between, like, 8 and 15.
I kind of want to watch it, but it sounds kind of terrible.
It's really terrible. It's really awful. Need to watch
a highlight reel of it. So, yeah, but no, I mean, back to the point of just the kids going wild, I honestly feel that this movie is more about sort of a prequel or a sequel to Working Girl.
Yeah.
It was all about her trying to make it and fake this job and deal with that rather than, and the sort of kids fending for themselves was just a B story that honestly didn't matter that much in the grand scheme of things.
The kids part of it.
The kid, I mean, it's literally all the scenes from the trailer, the cereal in the bowl, the throwing the plates off the deck and shooting them with a gun. Also, why do these kids have guns? Like,
I assume, that's a good question. I assumed it was a BB gun, but was it like a rifle?
Yeah, or for that to work, it really needs to, they
yeah, that's true. If it's actually,
or it's a shotgun.
Yeah, if it's actually exploding the plate. I know.
However,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, Walter's falling off the roof is a very pivotal moment, right?
Yeah, because I think that's kind of, I'm not sure where we are in the storyline. Well, it looks like we're maybe at the date when they go on a date.
For not quite. We had to get introduced to a few things first, but then they're okay. On a date, yeah.
I guess basically, I was just going to say that it is, like, the kids are simultaneously, like, really sociopathic and the worst, but then also, like, but they pivot where sometimes they're just fine, or they're, like, Kenny, like, the character of Kenny is so, like, sometimes, like, a just, like, total ass, like, sociopath, loser, obnoxious brother, and then sometimes he's actually, like, great, and it's not this, like, it's, like, hard to predict, like, how.
I don't know if you've ever been a high school teacher, Katie, but yeah, I can tell you that's pretty accurate.
Well, I know, and it's kind of, like, one of my frustrations with the film, but also, like, part of what I'm, like, well, I don't know, at least they never make them like murderers or saints. I don't know.
But Bridget, aren't the worst kids always the worst kids, or do they?
No, I mean, there are kids that truthfully would be like really like just, you'd be so confused about who they were, and then the next day they'd be sweet or would have like amazing things to say. I think the hormonal, especially for Kenny, like the hormonal fluctuations
are
so wild. Yeah, he has all those like nudie posters and Confederate flags. He's just, you know, confused.
I did think it was funny that in his own room, he like censored his nudie posters. He has like magnets over the nipples. I'm like, take a moment.
The nipples are too much. It's too much.
then it definitely wouldn't have been PG-13.
True.
Also, did he like constantly replace the batteries in that little skull that was jabbering there?
I know. Or yeah.
Like,
it was
every morning, like wind it. So it's like,
yeah, that room was like a Republican's nightmare. Save the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
So just to go back a little bit, we got introduced to David Slimy Duchovny. Bruce. He is gross.
The way he like cracks his neck.
Oh, he's just so, he's like literally just him, sweat.
Yeah, him and Carolyn, the receptionist, who are like boyfriend, girlfriend, have like the same like hair gel where they just like slick their hair back, which was like the 80s tell of who was bad in a movie.
Right. Like the guy from Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah.
He had the slickest hair of them all.
Yes. Oh,
Kindergarten
Cop. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, that's a good one.
Although, I want to say when Duchovny comes in, I mean, he's being sort of a dick, but I think Christina Applegate, Swell, was being a super
jerk,
you know, just.
And Annie said that too. Like, she really, like, plays cards that she has no idea if she has or not.
Yeah, I was like, wow, yeah. I don't have that authority in my job.
We could tell that David Duchovny was so oily, so we knew he was going to be this bad guy. And so it's okay to be bad to him, but she didn't know, like, and she's just instantly pulling the babysitter thing is just at a 9 or probably like at a 7.
Yeah, you know?
Totally. So that's also when we learn about what petty cash is, which is obviously very important for the whole thing, which is kept in a drawer.
$3,000 or whatever it was in 1990s money of petty cash in
a lot of money.
That's why everyone wanted that job, is because everyone just wanted to embezzle the petty cash.
Yeah, she gives her the key to petty cash like before she even gets a resume, like a background check,
she's
anything.
Like, she says, you can be sure to cash all the employees' checks because we're too busy to go to the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
But yet they go to lunch for like hours, like right. to fancy restaurants. So I don't understand.
Yeah.
Also, everybody's smoking inside.
Yeah.
And she's smoking a lot.
At work, at her desk. Like, yeah, was that ever a cool thing to do? Like,
I didn't realize it was still cool in 1991 to do that.
I don't know. I actually wrote down the smoking thing seemed like it was supposed to be cool, and college seems like it's not supposed to be cool, which I will tie it back to our very first, is it for real? Which was actually sans Bridget, unfortunately, but we did Adventures in Babysitting, which
right.
is the through line of Keith Coogan playing Kenny in this movie and Brad in that movie. But that's another movie where like college is like, even for like, and Elizabeth Shue in Avengers Babysitting is definitely like a more of like an elite character than Christina Applegate in this one. But both of them are like, oh, college, screw off. And it's like, what is your plan otherwise? Yeah. Like, what is everybody that just went to Europe? What's their plan? It's just it's strange.
Yeah. Is this family wealthy or are they?
It's a mystery. Like, maybe the mother. Mother maybe won like an Australia trip on like a radio show is kind of what it seems like.
No, the boyfriend was paying for it.
What boyfriend? What?
I read that somewhere that there was a boy involved and I or a man.
No, she says it.
Yeah, I just missed that. I missed
it. She says it. She says it in the movie. She's going with her boyfriend and they talk about him and they're like, how's she even getting to go on this? And they're like, he paid for the whole thing.
Oh, it's with Sue Ellen and her friends or something?
No, the mom goes on the trip to Australia with her boyfriend.
No, I know, but it's when Sue Ellen is talking with her
girlfriends. So. Yeah.
Man, that actually makes her even less likable.
Oh, she's terrible.
Man, okay.
Go ahead, Philip.
No, that's all I was going to say. It's insane.
So then Swell and Brian go on the Grunion Run date.
Yeah, I have a couple of things to say about this.
Go on.
One, movies love to imply that when you fall full force into the ocean, you can continue to have like a fun California night. Like, hey, it gets chilly. Like, that would be the worst if you fell. He's entirely submerged. He's like playing around, like ha ha ha, which kind of reminds me of like the Dumb and Dumber scene with like and, like where it's like starts out playful, but he collapses into the water and he's just totally dunked, and then they spend all night and like fast forward and it's like fine, which is annoying.
He's completely dry and his hair is like parted totally. Again. He's
parted. But the most annoying thing to me is that he parked the effing clown truck on the beach, which that drives me nuts. Like, are you kidding me? You
with the tide coming in.
Oh my God. I don't know. As somebody that's constantly like chasing parks out of public like spaces, it drove me crazy. And it's funny because I kind of do like him and I'm like, nope, he's the biggest jerk that's ever lived. I don't like him at all.
It's definitely like some sort of indication that they want us to see, like, they went there in the clown hot dog car. Isn't that funny?
I guess it's in the background. And I'm like, oh God, the entitlement. Jeez.
Anyway. But we could also agree that wherever that car goes, someone gets murdered. So yeah. Someone on that beach was murdered that night because the clown dog car doesn't go anywhere without, you know, spilling a little blood.
Brian grows up to be Kevin Spacey from Seven.
Yeah.
By the way, this is their first date. And this is I call this the date sandwich because it's her date with Brian and then the creepiest date ever, the lunch date. And then another date with Brian where they break up already.
I know. That's the time thing. I will also say, though, that the whole, I hate this part or I love this part, like, that actually is acted very well. I thought that their first kiss was acted very well.
Yeah, I agree.
That was a cute little scene. And then you see all the fish or the grunion.
Which is pretty gross.
What's a grunion?
I don't know.
Definitely didn't look like a fish that I'm going to try to impress a girl with.
As a kid, I always thought that he was talking about, like, turtle. Like baby turtle thing, and then Grunion Run, I guess, is also like fun. I don't know.
I swear I remembered them talking about a Grunion Run on like Full House once, maybe too. And so I just like thought it was like a thing that you did in California. Of course, I've lived here for 3.5 years and I've yet to see a Grunion Run.
Ironically, when you Google Grunion Run, like San Diego is like one of the first places that pop up. So
there is a Grunion Run drive about 2 minutes from where I'm staying right now.
Maybe that's the deal.
Oh, yeah. The best beaches for Grunion Runs are Del Mar, La Jolla, and Mission Beach. Yeah, I am literally moments away from one. Bye, guys.
It also says on the bottom, stop having sex on the beaches where the Grunion Runs are happening. You know, it's just too much for an aphrodisiac to see all these slime eel-like fish just flopping around on the beach.
It is gross. It kind of triggers whatever phobia it is where you have like just a lot of animals on top of each other. I have it and I don't like it. I didn't like all those like minnows on top of each other.
Ew.
Yeah.
How terrible is Gus?
Yeah, pretty slimy. I mean,
he was the inventor of, oh, you didn't like that? Then I was kidding. Which, I mean, that's pretty impressive for the guys of the world.
I was kind of, he's so over the top, just like, especially his like facial expressions and like lip curls and like licking his lips constantly. But if you just took the script of him, I kind of feel like it's probably par for the course in like late 80s, early 90s LA bullshit, like or just world, just the just, world, like
me too, crescendo. Yeah,
unfortunately, just like pressure. Yeah, he's very me too. And I guess what I'm glad that the movie at least paid Sim as an ass. Like,
why is a mid-level manager at a uniform company driving a Ferrari? Like,
I don't know.
You're a secretary, you're making $40,000 in 1991, then I guess, yeah.
And then it's like, he says, I was going to see if Rose wanted to go to the cafeteria, and then they go to like Malibu. Like, it's weird.
Weird.
I think that's his whole thing of just the whole bait and switch, you know, trying to sort of Harvey Weinstein. Like, I'm surprised they didn't have lunch in like a hotel room and him try to like play it off that this is normal.
That's true. Yeah. I did
He's
have a note.
A predator.
Yeah, he is. I mean, they make it really clear. And then I have a note, although, sorry, I also want to say like, it is also one of the most like, it's an open relationship, which is so strange when he's like, you know, we can date other people. I'm like, oh, well, I guess at least they've
Rose
like,
doesn't think that.
Or she's at least trying to work to not doing that. But yeah.
I don't think she thinks it is at all. I don't think she's seeing other people.
Maybe. I don't think she is seeing other people. Right. I mean, he's a creep. I'm not defending him. But I have a note about the waiter. Yeah, I know. Oh, God. What a fun character to, like, figure for. I have a note about the waiter where he takes her and she orders a, like, martini. And he says, sweeter dry. Like a normal human. And then she says, what? And then he says, sweet or dry. Like, the waiter becomes the most, like, intense, like, jerk that's ever lived. And then she just picks one. I don't even remember.
That's this whole movie. Both. Everyone just rams it up. Yeah, and also she picks the one option that no one would have ever picked.
I know. If nothing else, she's a pretty good con woman. Just go with it. Sweet, dry, who cares? But yeah, it's weird.
Ugh, because I think it's like the highlight, they try to highlight she's still a kid, you know? She's a kid in a grown-up's world where people are having martinis at lunch. And she doesn't know how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Swell and Brian go on a date to Toys R Us, R.I.P. I think
that's pretty
was
cute.
R Us.
Yeah, I think it probably was. I like that date. I like the bouncing balls. Although I do have a note saying that would be exhausting.
Oh my gosh, me too. Yeah. I was like holding on to that thing and doing all that, like their thigh workout.
You would be so sweaty and out of breath from doing one aisle as an adult. A kid is one thing. But
yeah.
It would be really hard to do for as long as they imply that they do that.
Although I love the store clerk that comes up to them and tells them to get off of it, because you know he's just seen people just do really disgusting things on those things, and he's just
Yeah, I know.
I think we forgot to mention the important plot point, that is Carolyn is Brian's sister. Maybe we said it.
Right.
But that he sometimes drives out to the fashion district to deliver her lunch, which seems like daily.
In LA. Like
daily.
He gets on the freeway to, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Because she's got a bag at her desk every day. And the one day he was just like sitting there talking to her.
Yeah, I love her character, who's very, like, you know, put together and 80s bad lady person, but yet she's going to be eating just a chili dog at her.
Yeah,
like just trying to look as impressive as she can and just chowing down on a chili dog.
Which is what we saw as the grossest chili ever.
Yeah,
the sound effect.
Once again, it's probably made with people because that guy's a murderer.
Yeah. True.
Some Sweeney Todd stuff.
So then we see Swell. They break up. They have this bad breakup because she won't tell him about her job.
Which is, both of them are being super weird. Like, he's being a little demanding, but the fact that she won't tell him about his job, her job, is bizarre. And I guess then we understand why, because I was like, just tell him. And then I guess, like, Carolyn has been talking about this backstabber at work. So, like, so Ellen right. knows that she's already been cast. And the note I have is that Brian ends a conversation by saying, I'm out of here. Like, just like Doug from The State, which I enjoyed. But yeah.
So then Swell slips into a depression and she's driving on the highway and she's kids. Nobody's wearing seatbelts again. She's not wearing a seatbelt. Going to the beach and she's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Brian's wearing the Orioles hat because he's there talking to his sister. He's so sad about his breakup.
Right. And then then Carolyn's like, do you have a problem, Sue Ellen? And then she's like, no. And she runs away and he turns and doesn't see who it is. And I'm like, don't you think that, like, how many Sue Ellens do you know? Like he knows that her name is Sue Ellen, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The fact that he doesn't put that together is a little weird to me.
Yeah, he was like, oh?
I also have a note.
He's not the smartest guy in the world.
Yeah, he's not. I also have a note here that just says, no one is signing up Melissa for Little League. Because I think it came over breakfast again, where she's like, you said you signed me up for Little League. And she's like, oh, sorry, I have to work, obviously. And I'm like, someone go and do it.
But she got in Little League.
I think Kenny did it after, like, Walter's leg break.
We're talking about Walter breaking his leg.
Oh, yeah.
So my question is, how did he take cash that he stole from Swellen's purse and order a home entertainment center?
He mailed in the cash, because that makes sense. I don't know. Like, could that be like COD, but instead of a check on delivery or cash on delivery? Is that a thing? Or
I guess was it a thing in the 90s? I guess so, but how do you, why would they bring all that equipment there and trust, like, a child who called on the phone and was like, okay, I'd like to order a home entertainment center. Katie's frozen.
Also, those kids are such thieves. Yeah, Katie is frozen.
Well, Katie, hopefully you can come back soon.
She's gone. She's gone.
She's gone. I wrote that was the coming to Jesus moment, because from that point on, everything changed.
People had to grow up real fast.
They had to grow up. They had to get their lives together. They had to, and then we had this big montage of them getting their lives together. It's like baseball, cooking, and ice sculpture.
Yeah, what's his face? Kenny watches Julia Childs and gets into cooking.
Right, he's super into cooking.
Seems to take. He's super into it.
And then we see Swell working really hard at the office. This is where I think I have discovered a continuity issue.
Okay.
So she's hard at work in her beret in the office, right?
Her working beret. Yeah.
Her working beret, if you will. She's like crunching the numbers. And then the next scene we see is she goes home, and that's where she and Kenny get into that like marital fight.
Yeah.
About like you didn't tell me you were coming home and all of that. Oh,
and she's back.
She's back.
Sorry.
Hey.
Sorry.
That's back. Okay. I was talking about where I thought I saw a continuity issue.
Go on.
The movie. So this is the part where Swell is she's at work, she's in her beret, she's working late at night.
Yeah,
she
comes
home. She and Kenny get into a fight. And then But when she comes home, she has two bags with her. One is her briefcase, and mm-hmm. one is her patent leather purse that she has with her all the time through okay. the whole movie. But then as soon as we're done with her and Kenny's fight, we cut back to the office that evening where David Duchovny and Carolyn are breaking in, and they find her wallet in her purse.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Because I also was like, why is she leaving her wallet at work? But interesting. Well, no, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was her wallet, and then she keeps bringing around or she sometimes takes the petty cash home with her, and she sometimes leaves it at work, depending on who needs to steal from it or see the receipts from it.
But it was all in that same purse, so that was the,
okay, gotcha.
Right? A little tricky.
Wait, because I, like, buzzed out for a while, did you guys talk about, like, Walter's leg break and all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We touched on it. Do you want to add anything to it?
Just that I really love the role. I like you said before, Bridget, like, Kenny kind of switches his mentality, and I just like, when they leave, I love when Sue Ellen says, "Damn it, Kenny." Like, I just remember, like, that's like kind of the first time that they're playing adults in front of that doctor, and, like, yeah. she's assuming the role of the mom, and I thought that was cool. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was calling the come to all of them.
Totally.
Sorry, you missed your favorite part, which was when Melissa gets to play baseball.
She finally gets to play baseball. This not montage of them all, like, pulling it together. And then I did what you're saying when she comes home and he's made her that casserole. Are we there or no?
Sure.
That's what we were talking about. Yeah, that they get into that marital fight.
I think that's, like, amazing. I think
it's a great scene. It's a great scene.
Although, the only part I don't like is when he says, "Eat shit." It's like, oh, it's like gross.
I think it was just like, yeah, they gave him all the swear words.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, he says eat shit.
Josh Charles got to wear his Orioles hat, and this kid got to say curse words. Those were their demands.
I read, because he is Jackie Coogan's grandson, Keith Coogan, and I read that they originally said that he was too old to try out for it, but then he came back in, like, with the hair and stuff and got it, which, like, he has a wig on, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be a wig. Yeah.
Totally.
Who is totally Jackie weird. Coogan?
He's like this old, like a kid actor, like Mickey Rooney, like who kind of like started all of these like kid actor laws in Hollywood. I've been watching Community, and Chevy Chase refers to Betty Grable and Jackie Coogan, which is fun. So maybe that's why it's on my brain.
Oh, speaking of which, the college that the mom wants Christina Apple or wants Swell to go to is City College, which is the rival of Greendale from Community.
I noted that. Yeah, I thought about that.
I know you're frozen, Katie.
Oh, no, we sorry. All froze there. I just had nothing to say. We all just froze. Yeah.
All right, so it's the night of the fashion show.
No, wait. I don't know if you've talked about it yet, but next comes in, like, one of my favorite parts from Rose, which is, like, if you just edited Rose, it is a roller coaster. And she comes in, and she's just like, GAW is history. We're all going to be out of a job. She just, like, it is nuts. Like, 0 to 10 in whichever way. And then Sewell has to, just console all of the factory workers and break it to Franklin. And anyway.
Yeah.
And that's when we see her superpower again, combining clothes.
Just matching stuff up into.
Right. She's walking through the factory.
And then a fashion show is going to save the company.
She can't do computers, but she can mix and match.
I was so confused as to why a fashion show was going to be helpful. But yeah.
Well, the clients, they didn't like any proposals. They didn't like any of the ideas, and the kids didn't want to wear uniforms. I so much to say about those uniforms, though. I'm so...
Because there was a nurse's outfit. Were they expecting a nurse to really wear that?
Well, right. Like, I don't get fashion in general, so I feel even weird commenting on it. But, like, is the idea of the fashion show that they put on, like, the inspirational, like this is the vision, or like literally are they selling that nurse's outfit, stethoscope included, for children to wear?
I don't know. And like, what kind of bellhop is like a teenage girl and
yeah,
is she wearing that? And that chef doing the running man.
I also feel like, even though I know it's a lot of free labor, but it is going to take a lot of money to turn that house into like what they turned it into. Like, I, yeah. I guess, like, you have enough petty cash, right? Like, no. To fill a swimming pool? No.
Because she'd already embezzled all the petty cash. So
yeah.
There wasn't any. And that's what I don't get. Yeah.
And they start making an ice sculpture 3 days before the event.
They built in a LA. Bridge over the swimming pool, which I was like, once again, confused at how rich they were. It's like, wait, they have a swimming pool that has some bridge over it? And then Nora pointed out, no, that was the catwalk that they constructed, which is even crazier.
Yeah. Right. They repaint the house, like the paint. I know the labor is free, but there's still some costs associated with this. A microphone, a spotlight, table,
glasses. Yeah, the whole lighting setup they have there would have...
It costs more than the company seems to be worth. Yeah.
I like to think back to the fact that they said that they were going to steal, or she could cash people's paychecks. And I think they just didn't mention it. And she was actually stealing people's paychecks. That's what I like.
Oh, interesting.
That's the only way it makes sense. Where did all that money for a light display come from?
Yeah. Or even the money that the kids have spent seems to be a lot.
It's loco.
I also have a note about the people, the Kenny's friends that are the valets, and they like valet Carolyn and David Duchovny's car, and he calls them Metallica breath.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, we know that they're bad, but how do they know?
I know. I thought about that too. Like, how did they know to TP their car? Like, maybe they're just TPing everybody's car.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a clip where they did it to everyone. Like, there's like a stuffy client that gave them the stink eye, and they did it to them as well. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, we...
Yeah.
So we're still at the fashion show.
Fashion show is starting.
Okay.
Everyone's impressed.
They loved it. There's a lot of people there, a lot of different faces that we've never swore.
Yeah, which are, yeah, they're like the investors, I guess, that they've invited to this fashion show. And Sue Ellen's friends got back in Louisiana. Sue Ellen's friends are back from Europe. They're like, they do a good job of like, Melissa's baseball friends are the waiters. Zach's the maitre d'.
Even though he's heartbroken.
Yeah, his storyline with Cynthia is not interesting.
And this could be just my brain. What is a maitre d'? I picture like a maitre d', like putting people on table. They're like the fancy...
Like a host, right? Like a host and hostess? Like at a restaurant, right?
Right. But he grabs a tray and goes out. It's like, no, you're not a maitre d'. You are a tray boy. I think it's the
term. Yeah, totally.
A tray boy.
And Kenny's friends are the valet.
Did you guys talk about Gus getting squirted with the water gun?
No, which is a confusing part for me.
Well, that's... Go on.
Well, it's just like when Rose comes in and it's like, what's going on here? Like, does she think Gus has peed himself? Does she think Sue Ellen made him pee? Like, what is the... I don't know. The whole thing is just like bizarre. Like, what is Sue Ellen's goal? And why can't Gus defend himself? He's like, his hands are in the air. Like, the rule is you can't block your crotch.
Yeah. I don't think he knew where she was going to shoot him.
At first, but it takes like 30 seconds. But yeah.
It's a solid prank to just water gun someone's pants.
Yeah. And then Sue Ellen is like, I feel like Christina Applegate is good, where she's like, Gus has a little crush on me. And I don't know. Christina Applegate makes a lot of sense in this movie, but what's going on here? Like, what does she think's going on?
I like that she stands up for herself and just like tells Rose what's going on.
I do too. I like it too.
Yeah.
Also, she can do no wrong to Rose. I mean, Rose hates everybody except her. So.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Also, Rose may not be competent at her job.
Is doing a lot of cocaine. Yeah, I know. What is Rose doing? She's just like eating like Skittles, like that scene too. It's like just tell Frank one, like, Skittles in her mouth. Like, it's totally weird. She just crumples under stress. Rose crumples. Like, Christina Applegate has to save the day, which is crazy.
So during the fashion show, when people are impressed, a few worlds converge, right? And Brian shows up and he's dumb and doesn't see all the cars parked in the house.
Yes.
He starts talking loudly into the megaphone and just like ignoring that there's cars everywhere.
It wouldn't be a good idea anyway, let alone if there's literally 80 cars parked in front of her house.
Maybe it's time to change this plan. No. Yeah. I talked myself up in the mirror before this. I'm going to stick with this plan despite all the evidence I'm seeing. I'm Josh Charles.
And then eventually he drives that car into their home, like around and in the backyard. And I said, no, like, this guy thinks he can park his car anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's on a public beach. It's in your girlfriend's backyard. Like, he had to hop a curb. It's nuts.
And then the mom shows up and doesn't believe her eyes. Like, for some reason, thinks this is the wildest party in the world.
Yeah.
Where it's
a
weird fashion show with, like, 30 people in their 50s, you know, that should have, I don't know what she should have thought. Like, I assume, like, she should have thought that they're, like, selling her kids on the black market, but not that they're having some, like, wild rager that she needs
like, to like, out. I said no parties!
And then instead of, like, going to his own mother and being like, hey, mom, like, I know this is crazy, let me talk to you over here and explain it, Kenny goes up to the microphone and is like, Sue Ellen, no, seriously, you shut up, mom's home. It's like, okay, great.
And she's like, what?
Yeah.
In the middle of the whole thing.
It's not like your mother had a shotgun, like, what is going to happen? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Sue Ellen has the microphone.
Mom was so mad. She was really mad. Rose is not mad. She's never mad at Sue Ellen. Sue Ellen can't do anything wrong. Hysterical. Also, Rose's just whole look, like LEWK that night. Her hair was like extra rosy.
Do we think that Rose is wearing a wig?
Maybe.
I was wondering. Right after I realized Kenny was wearing a wig, I was like, is Rose wearing
a wig? Maybe. I can see that. My guess
pretty
is
red.
From this very small picture that I'm seeing on my research computer, I'm going to say yes.
And then the mother, like takes a lap around the house and she's like, well, I'll be damned. Like, what did you think was going to happen when you went to Australia? Like, I mean, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
I assume she thought like two of the kids would die.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I'll be
and
damned.
And her life would become easier because she's the worst mother in the world.
She wouldn't have to feed them anymore.
Yeah, and like she didn't even call to tell them she was coming home a week early. Like when they're like, you're home a week early. Go, well, sorry to ruin your plans. Like, no, that's really shitty. Like,
well,
you didn't pay attention at all.
She only had the one phone car and she used the last minutes to find out the babysitter was at the yarn barn and then get hung up on. And so, yeah.
I was just looking at this thing that's like the best quotes from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead about like when we all freaked out about the QED report.
Oh, man. Yeah. The QED report. When Rose looks at it and she's like, it's exquisite. Like she looks at it like giant
like thousand matrix.
This is amazing. We're so in sync. What?
It was such a long report though. I personally don't know the report, so I don't know how long it takes to make that.
I don't know what it even is. Annie was saying that it kind of seemed like the female Office Space. This movie is just like all about like just crazy, like, bureaucratic stuff.
What about when Kathy disappeared and, but then reappeared and there was a temp in her place?
Yeah.
And that woman was like, I have no clue. I just remember that. I'm sorry. She was like, I have no clue what anything is. Like, she just, like, teleported there.
Yeah, it seemed like she opened the door to like hell and then like closed it again. As a kid, that very much informed like whenever I found out that like my college friends were working as temps, I'm like, oh my god, that just sounds like the worst. Like,
I did that a little bit.
I did that a bunch.
I went through a temp agency.
What did you do? Like that? Just be like, I don't know. Like you just like heated a chair is what that woman seemed to be doing.
If I ever took a temp job, but I remember going to the temp agency and like taking all these tests and like quizzes and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Typing and smartness.
I've done a bunch of temping. It was like during like Christmas vacation, I would do it. I had like an aunt that worked at she was like a manager at a temp agency. So I'd like did that whenever I was home for Christmas break. And then when I first moved to DC, I did it. And so it was like weird jobs. Like for like 2 months, I was delivering patent to all the patent offices in Crystal City down in DC. And
what is that? Like you're handing someone like a box? Like what are you?
Yeah, I would. I had like this little badge and I would go to all these different, and it was just like little legal lawyer's box of just like these thick patent applications, and would deliver them and they'd get stamped and yeah.
Oh, how weird.
How I'm trying weird. To think of if that's the weirdest temp job I ever
that
had.
That is a job I would not have been able to make up that existed.
I was gonna take a temp job. They were gonna hire me to work in the temp office.
That's awesome. How meta.
It was very meta, but then I ended up taking a job, I think, somewhere else. But I think that's when I started working for Center Stage in Baltimore. Oh, but cool. I was like, yeah, I'm going to take this weird temp job.
I definitely have one where I just, this will be the last thing, where 8 hours a day I just shredded documents.
That's cool. That sounds kind of fun, actually.
That's wow. Wild. So basically, Mom's mad, but then she gets over it. And then Swell and Brian make up. And the end, it's the end of the movie. And they're like, but where's the babysitter?
And then the gravediggers just spent all the money, which is probably like $1,600.
Right. Yeah. Gravestones are expensive.
Yeah.
Like $5,000 at least, right?
That babysitter ad. Totally.
Right. Although but they were going to like retire off this money. Yeah.
It's, I know, it's just like a funny callback, I guess. But yeah, I know. Well, I do have some questions.
Yeah.
So do I.
Devoted listeners. Oh, nice. Okay. Well, we'll see if we hit the same. So I think we touched on this a little bit, but this is from Annie ICU. And she says, did you notice that Kenny never meets the babysitter when she's alive? Was it Kenny's room that killed her?
I think yes.
I think it was Kenny's room that pushed her over the edge. I mean, it didn't kill her right away, but she definitely indicates that she's, like, having chest pains while she's standing there.
Yeah, and maybe, And the fact that he was the only one that she didn't meet seems kind of almost symbolic in that, too. Like, but yeah. Wait, Kenny, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would assume that because of such what a hardcore babysitter she is, she's seen some things so that this wouldn't have fazed her, but I guess not. So that means she was being this intense babysitting like normal people.
Right. Yeah. Was. It's interesting, that whistle. Then I have a question. I have two questions from Dave L.
Oh, Dave L.
One is this the best movie? Do we think this is the best thing? Sorry. Do we think this is the best thing that Christina Applegate has ever done?
No.
I think he might be saying this as a fan of the movie. I don't think he's trying to be snarky towards Christina Applegate. But go ahead, Phil.
No, I mean I love the first Anchorman, and I think she's
oh
great.
Yeah, of course. I also watched, now I can't remember. I want to say Dead to Me, but what's the movie on Netflix with her and Linda Cardellini?
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, it's Death.
And Death to Me.
It might be Dead to Me. It might be Dead to Me. Unless that's a name of another show. But I really like that. So, yeah, I'm going to say no, although I do really like her in this movie. I'm going to say no.
I like her in this movie, too. I'm looking to see some of her other career things. But, yeah, Anchorman, she's great. I mean, she's in a song. She's featured in a song by Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. What's that group?
I don't know.
It's a remake of, it's normally on the top of my brain because I love, oh, PM Dawn. Nice. They sing a song about that and they say, Christina Applegate, you got it, put me on. And they're singing about her, but that's apparently a throwback to another line from another song that Jeff told
she
me.
Was also in this series called Samantha Who that I really liked, where she like loses her memory.
Oh yeah,
really good. So I'm gonna say no, but don't forget
that she was Roxy Fedora on the prenatal pole dancing
that too
from 2010.
Prenatal.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh,
so that's
yeah.
A big no. David.
I forgot that I used to play a song during our podcast. Oh. I'd like to do that this time. I'm going to play a song for you.
We'll end with that.
Yeah.
I have a couple more questions. So one, but this is going to be very quick, and this is from Dave L. where do I know that guy from and why do I like him so much? The ice cream / hot dog / whatever guy. So we've kind of already answered that, but that's Josh.
He's all around Baltimore. Yeah.
Josh Charles. Yes. He's from Baltimore. That's where Dave knows him. And then I have a question from my sister that might require a little research. It says, this is from Jenny. I'm curious as to how old the actors were, especially Brian and Sue Ellen, because they were playing high schoolers. And who goes out of the country and hires a babysitter that your kids have never met? The mom's just like, see ya for the entire summer.
Okay, well, we can figure that out, like, pretty quickly, because Charles is 48 right now.
Yeah.
He was born in 71, so he was 20.
He was 20.
I think Christina Applegate was, like, 19. I think it
19 or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So they were kind of the same age, playing a little
pretty
younger.
Close to, yeah, usually they have teens, and they're, like, 28-year-olds.
And to, exactly, and to circle back to Dave's question, like, I feel like all the more good on Christina Applegate for doing a really good job at 19 playing a 17-year-old. I don't know. Thought you did good. Yeah.
Totes.
So I had the questions I had from Nora L., no relation to Dave L. Basically, they're all in line of, like, why did the mom go to Australia for 2 months, and why did she only take the small briefcase? Because it was just, that's the easiest way to smuggle cocaine, probably.
Right.
And then, what was the mother working to afford 5 kids in a farmhouse near L.A.? The answer to that is that it was Louisiana, which L.A., Louisiana.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever say Los Angeles in this movie?
No, they say UCSD at some point.
They do?
Yeah, about where Brian's parents want him to go to UCSD. Because, so for a lot of the movie, Andy and I are trying to figure out if it's San Diego or LA. Because
well, it's
of the
definitely
Glenian.
Not San Diego, because
well,
there's a fashion
kind
district.
Of, well, right, but it's kind of not LA. But yeah, so he said his parents want him to go to UCSD for the marine biology or something.
Okay. That is in San Diego.
Right. Okay. But when she looked at the Grunion Run, San Diego came up, but then like everything else is kind of like kind of clearly LA, but kind of not. So I don't know if they ever say Los Angeles. They say the city, and they say,
do
like,
a shot, like a pan shot of what I think is LA, downtown LA.
Yeah, and there's probably not Grunion Runs down in the Gulf of Mexico,
Louisiana. So. Who knows?
But no, what is y'all's guess of what the mother? What's her job? Like, what do we think?
Kindergarten teacher.
I gotta think that she's like communicate. I mean, I'm trying to think of like an 80s or like a 90s thing, but like I would think that she's like runs like philanthropy at some big fancy company or something. Like she seems like she must make. It seems like she might be one of these people that make a lot of money but have no like organizational skills. So while she's like keeping everyone fed, she's not keeping up with the house. It's a disaster. She's not signing up Melissa for baseball.
Is shitty dad contributing money, do we think? Or just he's shitty and he's not?
I don't know.
Could be it. I've got a theory, though. And
go
it goes
on.
Back to the mention of Kindergarten Cop. So this is like an alternate reality where Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't show up and that woman continues to date the drug dealer. And so that's this relationship. And so the man she goes to Australia to meet is that drug dealer. And so the house is funded by his shady crime-ness. And
yeah.
This is just like 10 years in the future. It's a sequel
wow.
to Kindergarten, an alternate reality to Kindergarten Cop.
That's, I like that's- it. It makes as much sense as anything. I'm fine
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's wild.
It checks out, though.
Is it time for Hummers, Bummers, and Dummers?
Yeah, it is, because we're going a little long, even though we tried.
Okay. We can try to make HBDs shorter, I guess. Does anybody, so do we want to start with bummers?
Yeah, let's do it.
I've got a real bummer.
Okay.
Like an outside of the movie, but so, well, what I was reading was, so I will start with, do people know that like the Zach, the surfing is the source kid, tragically died of an overdose at 24.
Oh, God, no.
And so apparently, this is such a bummer. This is maybe too much of a bummer for bummers. But apparently, I think that kid was supposed to be, he was supposed to have like more of a storyline, and they like cut some of his scenes because he was already like starting to have like drug stuff. Like
in, a kid?
In this movie. I think he was like 14 or 15. But when I read that, it was like, it kind of made sense because I'm like, I'm not sure why they keep on putting this kid in our face and then like not doing anything with it. So I feel like his actual life kind of affected the story. Wow.
Yeah. Well, before I remembered that he was the Point Break kid, I was like, is this like Eddie Furlong or, you know,
right. one
of the and I was only thinking of guys that went off the deep end.
Yeah,
of
drugs.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just has that look of...
Yeah. Well, when you Google him, like River Phoenix comes up immediately, and maybe because they both kind of had that, yeah, that tragic end or that look. I don't know. He kind of looks like
River. And he definitely has that like early 90s Tiger Beat look.
Totally. Yeah. That split like Brad Renfro, which is like another kid that had a tragic ending. But yeah.
Wow. That is a bummer.
That might be too much of a bummer.
No, there's no rules on bummers.
Okay. All right.
My bummer from the movie is just Gus in general. I just find him terrible. There's no redeeming qualities about him. I hate the way his mouth moves.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
He's also just like a cartoon of a person.
Yeah, he's a cartoon. Just,
yeah, totally.
My bummer is just going to be the general lack of parenting. The whole like watching your kids steal money from your wallet and just be like, fine, that's okay.
Yeah. My other movie bummer is like Walter. Like, man, talk about neglected. Kind of the same neglected parenting thing. Yikes. But sorry, go ahead, Phil. Right,
yeah. No, I was going to go dark, and maybe that wasn't like scripted in the scene. It was actually that actor stealing money.
God. They just kept the cameras rolling. Oh, good. Yeah. Oh,
okay. So that's why the mom didn't like know her. She was like, that's okay.
Totally different plot.
Here's a number.
Yeah, totally.
Dumber.
Okay.
You got a dumber, Katie?
No.
I think my dumber is just, I'll go with this. It's really dumb that they get the dog high and that's...
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that. Don't,
good call.
Don't get your dog high. They didn't. They don't. They're good dogs. They don't need to do that. You could give your dog a little CBD if they're anxious or worried.
A little nervous Nelly, you know.
Yeah, but you can't give your weed. Come on.
My dumber is just going to be the luggage is just a briefcase. And she also, because Christina Applegate borrows another briefcase of her mom's. So all the mom has are briefcases, which goes back to my theory that she's a drug mule for her boyfriend from Kindergarten Cop.
I did rewind twice to see if I could see the super shuttle loading any baggage into the car, and I did not.
Yeah. She is just going with a briefcase. Also, even if you're traveling, why would you bring a briefcase? Let's say she has two other bags. It makes no sense. So that's
why are you wearing high heels on a contrans
to the Atlantic?
That's a long flight. Yeah,
so long to wear that outfit. It's so uncomfortable.
I'm gonna go back. I've mentioned it a couple of times, but. No one being able to sign Melissa up for Little League. The fact that signups for Little League are during a weekday at 10 a.m., it seems like, is the only time you can sign her up. But before that, the only time you can sign her up is any time, which the mother didn't do. And then you can just sign her up if you're 15 and you're her brother, which is actually how it works. So the whole thing, the inconsistency of the Little League signup, which then... She's begging all summer, and then 2 weeks to the end of the summer, she signs up and she's on the team. So anyway, that whole thing is just such BS.
Hummer.
I have my hummer.
All right.
Well, I don't know if we've talked about it enough, but my hummer is, I'm right on top of that, Rose. Like,
yeah, we didn't talk about it at all.
Oh my God. Like that line became, I mean, Rose in general, Rose is in her own movie that pops into this movie, and I love it. And we mentioned in the other podcast, but she is the protagonist from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is
right.
a tie-in.
Right.
Which makes me like her even more. But that whole idea of I'm right on top of that, Rose. And like when she busts in, she's like, oh, and one more thing. And this is so important. And it's just it's so weird. And I've used that like as if it's ubiquitous and it's not. Like, I had a board meeting and the board president was like, hey, can you fill out that survey to me? And I typed back, I'm right on top of that rose. And she's like, what? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, no, I would not have gotten that reference.
I would have.
Said it tomorrow.
He might not. Yeah, but I love it. I think my sister and I kind of did it a lot, and now Annie and I do. And the concept of like just basically faking that you know something and you are gonna do it, but you didn't know you should. I just love it.
It's a good line. It's a very good line.
Yeah.
My Hummer is just hair. Just the hair of everyone in this movie, particularly Rose's hair, which is just like this like bright color that changes depending on where she is, and it's just so like it's like such a long bob. And then like Suellen's like first day of work hair, like wrapped up in that like thing with the big bangs, it's just great. So I'm hummed up on the hair for sure.
My Hummer, it's gonna be that Swell quit the job at the clown pig or clown dog, whatever it's called, so quickly, because it was so disgusting. Even her like washing that pan,
yeah,
and just the other guy being the creepy murderer who has like 30 bodies in his basement. It's just,
it could have been a much different movie if she had
right
stayed there.
Yeah, I did not want to
that
watch.
Was so gross.
They went out of their way to make it pretty gross. Like the sound effects of that chili was like, ugh.
Yeah. So like her, switched away from it. I was just, yeah, that was my Hummer.
I love it. Should we talk about what each of us is wearing or what each other is wearing?
Yes, we should.
Well, I've been staring at Philip's outfit all night, so I think I should talk about it.
Hey, please do.
Well, Philip's wearing a beret, much in the style of Christina Applegate's mm-hmm. beret yeah. from her long, hard night at work. But then he's also got Kenny's wig underneath of the beret, which is a neat thing. And then he's wearing a t-shirt that just says Bodacious Ice. it's a good look.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
very different.
I love it. Katie, well,
okay. I'll describe yours.
Okay. Okay.
But it's you've been talking about it and you've been wanting us to mention it all night, that mm-hmm. you were wearing a softball uniform.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we get it. You had a great game, you know, earlier and you had a good job. But we also recognize that you have combined it with a chef's hat, which makes it into just a fashion amazingness, and you've got your bangs are kicking. I'm on record with hating bangs. I've got to say yours look pretty good.
Thank
tonight.
You. You are on record for that.
Did yeah. you get cut those bangs just now during the quarantine, Katie?
Yeah, I did. I did. Wow. And speaking of the quarantine, so Bridget, I notice, is fashioning a very fashionable protective face mask, but also with a incredibly revealing, tight, colorful nurse's outfit, complete with stethoscope and little hat. So it makes everyone feel safer.
Yeah. Thank you safer for noticing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's fuchsia.
Thank you to our healthcare workers.
It's an homage.
Yep.
I want to thank our healthcare workers.
So that's what she's been wearing around San Diego.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable at the Grunion Run, I'll tell you.
I bet.
Because I fell into the water.
Yep. With that, it's so
with that on.
It's so restricting,
then,
all of it.
So restricting.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, this has been fun.
What we have to answer it.
Oh, I forgot. Is it for real?
Is it for real? Is it for real a classic?
Wow.
Okay. So it's interesting in thinking about the question, because as much as I like this movie and I really liked rewatching this movie, I don't know if I can say it's for real. Like if you've not seen it before, I don't know. It's like a cult classic, but I don't know it's a fun movie, but there's so many plot holes. And if you're not having fun remembering things that happened, I don't know if it's for real.
Well, I'll go ahead. And I'm going to have a little point counterpoint with myself.
Good.
Because I'm also
should we leave?
That it's probably not for real. Like mm-hmm. I would just, if someone recommended it, I would be just like, watch the first half of Home Alone and then Working, and you'll probably get the same experience or a better experience. But Nora L, remember, no relation to Dave. Yeah.
Or Jenny L.
Or Jenny L. Or Katie L.
Yeah.
And Nora L might have been watching this right next to me, and she was pleasantly surprised, and I think she really enjoyed it, where she fell asleep during Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's true.
Full time and enjoyed this one. So that probably cancels out my not for real vote.
I'm not going to lie. I did fall asleep watching this movie.
Jesus. Okay.
But I finished it today while I was awake. And I mean, there's a lot of things I love about this movie. I like Christine Applegate's character a lot.
Me too.
And I like, you know, that it is just sort of crazy. There are a lot of plot holes and there's a lot of smarmy, weird guys. But I think at the time it was like really empowering for like a young woman to think she could just like do anything and put her skills and talents to use. So I'm going to say it is for real.
I like that. I'll add on to that where I think it was probably really important in the time and still today for her to stand up to Gus. That's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a big deal.
What a fun split we are on all of it.
It's the first one we had a split on.
That's true.
Yeah. That may be a solid maybe, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Were you guys ready for some PM Dawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. We got to get this PM Dawn cranked up. This is the song that mentions Christine Applegate. Can you hear it?
A little bit. Gazoo tight.
Where's the speaker on here?
Or the microphone.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that was a little bit better. No, back.
Anyway.
We are a high-tech podcast.
We will. No. Colder, oh. Colder.
All right.
Maybe this is just an editing challenge for Phil.
Yeah, Phil, put the song in there at the end.
Okay, I should be able to do that. And I will do it seamlessly.
PM Dawn, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. They mentioned Christina Applegate.
Okay, yeah.
All right, you guys. Till next time, we don't know what movie we're doing yet, right?
Not yet.
We don't. That's my ideas.
Catch us on, Is It For Real?
Is It For Real?
For Real.
Bye.
Is it for real? We used to love it, then we watched it, and now we don't know if we like it. Is it for real?